Hello and welcome to a special edition of Listen Closely with John and Chris. I am John, one of the two co-hosts, of course, and this is an episode we didn't really plan on doing. In fact, we had this idea not quite 24 hours ago, but we felt it was appropriate, particularly given as this podcast is and has always been about the perfect marriage of popular music and nostalgia. And it's been all over the news. Earlier this week, we lost one of the great icons of popular music from really the mid-1970s right up until present day. And I am, of course, referring to the legendary Eddie Van Halen. And I am joined, as always, by Chris out on the West Coast. Chris, thank you for pulling this together, as you always do, such short notice, but we felt that, I think you and I agreed that this seemed to be the right thing to do, a sort of tribute to an icon from our youth.
Oh, man, it's really sad. You know, his name was just synonymous with amazing guitar playing. Really, to the point, I almost mean that literally, where, you know, I can remember as a kid where, you know, if somebody wanted to play the guitar, was like messing around on the guitar, you'd be like, oh, what do you think, you're Eddie Van Halen? It was like,
exactly.
That was like a stand-in for guitar hero. Like his name literally meant like amazing guitar player. It was incredible.
And it was as though you had this, you know, we grew up and everyone spoke of Hendrix, who, of course, I think died in, 1970. So he was long gone before we were around. Mm. But Hendrix sort of reinvented the guitar sound in the late 60s. And then I feel as though Eddie Van Halen kind of carried the torch. So you had this kind of greatness amongst us. And listen, we were 7 years old when 1984 came out. And I mean, Christ, the video for Jump was played everywhere. And then you had Panama, you had Hot for Teacher. And it was like, these guys were gods. And what was unlike any other band at that time, or really before or since, is when you think of a band, you always think first about the lead singer. But when you think about Van Halen, I always felt like no matter how charismatic David Lee Roth was and no matter how amazing the vocals of Sammy Hagar were, the first thing you thought of was Eddie. First thing you thought of was that guitar.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. And I think it's kind of amazing. I was thinking about this yesterday. It sort of boggles my mind that to think how good he had to be to get that kind of recognition when you're not the lead singer, especially back then. Like, I feel like today, you know, if he had come up in today's environment, you know, we'd have all kinds of social media to promote himself, and he'd probably be judging some Guitar Hero reality show. You know, like, there'd be so many more venues for you to hear about a guy who's not the face, the front man, the singer of the band. But back then, yeah, like, everybody knew Eddie Van Halen, and he didn't even sing it. Like, it kind of boggles my mind that he was that well known at that time.
And I think not only is that significant and important, but I think it's also, everyone talks about Eddie Van Halen, the guitarist, but I think Eddie Van Halen, the musician, Eddie Van Halen, the songwriter, and the visionary, because what people tend to forget is, I mentioned a few moments ago, the album 1984, which had, again, Jump, Hot for Teacher, Panama. The band's at the height of their success, and their lead singer says, I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. And everyone just figures, oh my God, Van Halen's done. What the hell are these guys going to do without David Lee Roth? And they came back a couple of years later, and some would argue that they were better. It was a different sound. And I think so much of that was because of Eddie. It was because of the songwriting. And let's not forget that from really 1984 straight up until their last couple albums, Eddie wasn't just playing guitar, he was playing piano. He was playing synthesizer. And again, I just think it's a testament to the man's charisma, to the man's work ethic, to everything. And just the body of work that Van Halen left us and that Eddie Van Halen left us is mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, truly, truly a genius. You know, we think of these rock gods, you know, as, oh, they're just these, you know, wild dudes who are like hammering on the guitar or whatever and having a good time. But I mean, you know, a musical genius, you know, just a brilliant guy. Like you said, a brilliant songwriter, just truly like a generational talent.
He was, and he was everywhere. I think everyone knew Eddie Van Halen. And, you know, a couple things that I want to note about him is, for starters, I think that there was an accessibility to Van Halen's music that a lot of the other bands in that era, that genre, maybe didn't have. And I think that was part of one of the keys to their longevity, to their success. You know, for as invasive and loud as that guitar could sound, there was always a very melodic sound to their music. There were always the infectious melodies, and I feel that some of their contemporaries just didn't have that. And I also think it was the power to reinvent themselves, which they did after they lost the first lead singer, after David Lee Roth left. And then they got Sammy Hagar, and then they tried to reinvent themselves again by getting Gary Cherone from Extreme. That didn't work out so well, but it was that ability to at least attempt to have the strong power of reinvention that was, I think, huge. And I don't know that other bands were capable of that. I don't know that other bands would have done that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I feel like a lot of people shit on Sammy Hagar, but they had some great stuff with him. I mean, that whole resurgence with like the Right Now era and,
right.
You know, the Love trilogy, right? Love Walks In.
When It's Love.
Love. And what's the other one?
How Do I Know When It's Love?
Yeah. Is that right? Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, they had some great stuff, and you're right. It was a very different sound, but I agree that, yeah, there was something about them. They always had those infectious hooks, which is so important not to get lost in, you know, all of the crazy guitar playing. You know, they kept those melodies that made them accessible,
and I think, too, one of the things I loved about watching Eddie Van Halen, and I never saw them live. I had an opportunity to in the summer of 1995 on the Balance Tour, and I wish I had. But when you look at a lot of other rock stars over the years, particularly guitarists, they're always doing that kind of, I don't know, the rock star posturing. You know, the guitarist is making, like, crazy funny faces, and, you know, he's doing some crazy guitar solo and he looks like he's about to have an orgasm or something. But you know what I'm talking about. Like, it's so over the top. Yeah. And it looks like they're in the midst of this strenuous workout half the time, half of these guitarists. And look, maybe it is a lot of work. Anytime you watched Eddie Van Halen play, you know, any of the live footage, any of the music videos, the guy was just beaming from ear to ear. He always had this grin on his face. He just genuinely looked like he was having the time of his life. And he made it look easy. He really did.
He did, you know. And, man, I think Do you know what your first, what was your first like Eddie Van Halen experience? I'm pretty sure I know mine.
I mean, it would have to be seeing the Jump video when I was 7. And I just remember that guitar that he played for years, which was kind of orange bass, but had like all the white stripes. It kind of looked like a cheetah or something. Yeah. That was probably it for me. What about you?
Yeah, well, Beat It.
Oh, yes, of course.
We did the guitar on Beat It. And I mean, such an iconic riff. I mean, I don't know that it's, you know, where it stands in his, I mean, he's got so many brilliant guitar solos, but, you know, that's an example of one like you're talking about where, I mean, that was the biggest song in the world for a while. And it's just not the same without him doing that. You know,
not at all.
As long as it is. You know, and I come back to just how he was everywhere. You know, I think he popped up in Back to the Future, right? There's an Eddie Van Halen reference.
When Michael J. Fox puts the headphones on Crispin Glover, 1955, and he hits the button on the Sony Walkman and he presses play, it's an Eddie Van Halen guitar solo.
Okay, right. And there's some debate over whether, I think he said that he was actually like, that he actually played that. Or no, he did actually play it. What am I saying?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But I thought he said that he was actually had like a cameo, an unbilled cameo in the movie.
I know Huey Lewis did.
Eddie
Van Halen might have as well.
But regardless, I mean, even just something like that, I mean, you know, he was so good that he would pop up in those kind of contexts. I mean, think of another guitarist who would, you know, who you could mention by name in a movie like that, because I think on that cassette too, it said like Edward Van Halen when he put the cassette in. Just another that you could name that everybody in the world would know. And you don't. I mean, it's just, he's up there with like Hendrix,
Clapton. I think. Sure.
You
know, a lot of people know Keith Richards just for the sense of it's Keith Richards. Let's face it. You know.
Of course.
But yeah, I mean, Eddie Van Halen was Van Halen. That was it, man. And even with the revolving door of lead singers, that guitar sound was always what sort of drove the band. And it was pioneering. And I think, you know, I've spoken a couple times over the last few moments about the reinvention component. And I want to say how important I think that was, because, you know, Van Halen hits this commercial success in the mid 80s with 1984. And it's, you know, it's hard rock, but there's some pop elements to it. It's also a little campy with the music videos and Diamond David Lee Roth looking completely ridiculous. I feel, and I know a lot of people will disagree with me on this, but if they had continued in that direction with the catchy but slightly campy hard rock and Roth as the front man, that they would have been grouped more often with bands like Motley Crue, Poison, Extreme, which were bands that consisted of incredibly talented musicians, but they all sort of kind of looked the same, and they all sort of you know, had the teased long hair, and everything was just a little excessive and at times a little tacky.
Yeah.
I feel that the direction the band went in with bringing Sammy Hagar into the mix and what Eddie started to do with not simply changing his guitar sound slightly, but I think more so adding more piano, more synthesizer, it created this sound of this more mature hard rock, borderline heavy metal. And I think it really provided the band with a bit more longevity, and it gave them this incredible second act.
Yeah, I think so, because I think, I mean, I'm no Van Halen expert, but isn't it true that a lot of like hardcore Van Halen fans, you know, they look at those more popular, like 1984, you know, like Jump, for example, as kind of crap, right? Like, not crap.
Yeah, they look at the Jump as sort of the turning point. Maybe not the rest of 1984, but that segueing into the Sammy Hagar years, they feel as though it got a little too watered down, a little too light. AOR, album-oriented rock, felt is what it had become.
Right.
I disagree wholeheartedly with that, though. I know a lot of diehard Van Halen fans who maintain that Roth is and was the greatest era of Van Halen. But for my money, I know that people are nuts. I prefer the Sammy Hagar era.
Yeah, I mean, they both have so much good stuff, but to me, there is definitely a distinct, you know, it's not just the difference in the lead singer, like you said. I mean, their sound to me, I think it did get a little more refined, and it was, I mean, you know, Jump, as much as I love Jump, but you know, look, it's poppy. It's a little bit, just kind of 80s cheese, you know? And I think, yeah, if they kept going in that direction, I don't know how long that train runs, but yeah, when they came back, you know, like when we were in high school in the early to mid 90s, it was a slightly different sound, and it was kind of a more mature sound, I think. And he is a master of whatever sound they were doing.
Right, exactly. It was, yeah, I think when we were in high school, were the last two albums with Hagar. So it was For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge in 91, and then it was Balance in 95. But then prior to that, I mean, Christ, we were in elementary school when it was the album that was right after 1984. That was 5150. Mm-hmm. That would have been 86 or 87. And then OU812 was when we were in middle school. So it was this kind of slow trajectory straight up until the mid-90s.
Right.
And then it got a little weird when they got Gary Cherone from Extreme as their lead singer in 98. But
I'll be honest, I don't really know much of that era. Was it pretty bad?
I don't know a whole lot of that era. I listened to that album a couple of times. I think the general consensus is that the album that Cherone did a very good job as a singer, and Cherone has a great voice. He's a phenomenal performer. He's got a great stage presence, but that the songs just weren't up to par with everything that had come before. Yeah. And they never got around to putting out a second album with Cherone. Although I think they recorded one, but I think they shelved all of it. And Van Halen kind of did nothing for a few years, but then recruited, got Sammy Hagar back into the mix in 2004 for what was a disastrous tour. And disastrous because Eddie was not doing so well, shall we say. There was a lot of drinking going on. There's a clutch on YouTube where he, I think it was the last concert, the last night of that tour, and he just demolishes his guitar on stage in front of, you know, 90,000 people for no apparent reason. Wow. Other than, you know, he was probably had a few too many drinks. Right. Or whatever. But listen, all these great musicians we speak of, they've all had their demons, and it sure seemed like he conquered his demons toward the last few years of his life. And it's just a shame that Van Halen really didn't put out any music over the last 3 or 4 years. They did have an album that they put out with Roth in, I want to say, 2012, 2013. But I don't really think it did much.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a shame. I mean, he was still relatively young, and like you said, had gotten things together, and should have had much more time if things were fair.
In closing, when you learned of his passing, did you put on any Van Halen songs? And if so, which ones did you put on?
I went right to Beat It. I just because that was my first, you know, I mean, I was 5 years old hearing that. So maybe it's a little corny, but that's what I put on.
Nice. Well, good choice. Yeah, you know, I did actually. And I kind of went to three different, I don't want to say three different eras, but I started with When It's Love, just mm-hmm. because no matter how many times I've heard it, I still find the song to be incredibly enjoyable and infectious. Yeah. Then I went to what's probably my favorite of the David Lee Roth era, which is Dance the Night Away, which I just think is incredible. And I close it out with sort of an unsung later Hagar era Van Halen song off of Balance, which is a ballad called Not Enough. And it's a sentimental favorite. I remember exactly hearing it for the first time right after we'd graduated high school. And it has beautiful piano work by Eddie Van Halen, as well as guitar. So, yeah, I think those three songs really just kind of summed it up for me, and was my own little tribute to the man himself, to the legend.
That's great, yeah.
And I think that's all really we could say about it. So do yourselves a favor. Go out and listen to some Van Halen and remember the genius and the icon. I think this is one of those rock stars passing that I think people will be talking about, Chris, for years to come. I mean, we saw it happen, 4 or 5 years ago with Bowie. Mm. And I imagine it was what it was probably like when John Lennon passed, how just shocking it was. And, you know, I think that Eddie Van Halen probably had a lot more to give us.
For sure, for sure. And I think especially for, you know, maybe younger people who aren't as familiar with their music, you know, definitely give it a listen. I mean, this is a real icon of rock and roll right here. And he'll be missed.
He will. And that's about it. So listen to some Van Halen, and Godspeed, Eddie.
Take care.